Proverbs 31, if you would. Proverbs 31. And men, please don't be alarmed over here. There's going to be a treat for you in the beginning of the message and towards the end of the message. Okay, so don't try to fall asleep on me. And it's particularly to mothers and young ladies coming up perhaps to be a mother one day, or wife, if you would. And I hope that this would be a blessing to you as the Lord laid it on my heart to share with you. Once you've found your place in the book of Proverbs chapter 31, please be upstanding in respect and reverence to the Word of God. We're going to read a few verses. Let me first quote a verse, Proverbs 20 verse 6. Don't turn there. This, listen, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? And then in Proverbs chapter 31 verse 10, the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. And then back it, go down a little, verse 30. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that what? Feareth the Lord shall be praised. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we do ask and pray that you'd have the blessing upon your word to every heart here today. We do ask and pray, Father, via the scriptures, that you'd help us understand what it is to fear the Lord, to understand what it means, Father, to give you the respect that you deserve, the reverence that you deserve, but not only that, Lord God, the benefits of fearing the Lord, but also the destruction of not fearing the Lord. Lord, I just pray that every heart will be settled, every heart, Father, will be focused on you and your word this morning. There are many distractions in the world today, many cares, worries, and hindrances. But I pray in this moment here today that we can lay all these aside and we allow you in our hearts, Lord God, that you may speak to our hearts and help us to respond to your word. Help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only, that we may continue therein so we don't deceive ourselves. Father, we love you. Have the blessing on your word to our hearts for your glory and for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A little boy forgot his lines in Sunday school presentation at a play, and his mother was in the front row to prompt him. She jested and she tried to form words silently with her lips, but it didn't help. Her son's memory seemed to be lost and he was blank. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue, "I am the light of the world." The boy beamed and with great feeling in a great loud voice said, "My mother is the light of the world." Faithful mothers, godly mothers are hard to find. However, though the Bible mentions it is hard to find, the blessing is they can be found. They can be found. She's a rare, expensive jewel made by God as she surrenders herself in the hands of God. And as he begins to mold her and shape her, she shines brightly for his glory. And I want to give you some steps here this morning. I want to cut the introduction short and give you some steps that will help you be a faithful, godly mother. Well, number one, you need to find the Lord. There is no way in the world that a mother could be faithful and godly if she doesn't know the Lord. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." I thank God that God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and seek and save us. And I'm going to say this, if he never sought us, there's no way we can ever find him and be saved. It's only by his grace that he came and he loved us. So in return, we can find him and love him. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And so we can only be finding the Lord once you see what the Lord's done for you. And God has demonstrated his love for you through the Lord Jesus Christ and the light of the gospel, through the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Word of God and also the revelation of God the Father. Without these things, there is no way that you and I or any mother here today can ever be drawn to the truth. The mind needs to be illuminated in order for you to find Jesus Christ. You and I are lost by nature. We are lost. We are depraved. And we need an external hand. We need the love of God to come and enlighten us. And the way he's done that is through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage every mother here today, if you haven't yet trusted the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and you haven't yet heard the word and responded to the word and you're still in darkness, I want to encourage you today, please, with all my heart, find the Lord. Come and repent. Turn from your wicked ways and he will abundantly pardon. I like that word. He wouldn't just forgive your sin, but he will abundantly forgive your sin. Isn't that a blessing? Everything that you've done, everything that you've regretted, decisions that you've made, perhaps some of the ways that you've raised your children, some of the ways that you've been to your husband, everything that you've done wrong, God says, I can wipe it out and make it right now. And I thank God that that salvation is a one-time deal, but I thank God that sanctification is a lifetime deal. You say, what does that mean? Well, as we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we're saved, we don't become perfect mothers, but we strive for perfection. Or we don't become perfect people, if you would, but we strive for perfection. So in other words, when we fall and we stumble and we don't do things right and we hear the word of God, we're able to make things right and get it right so it can stay right. So when I get saved, it doesn't mean overnight I'm going to be the best mother that there can be or the best wife that I can be. No, but when I come, I say, Lord, I want to come and I want to follow you and I want you to make me this virtuous woman. I want you to make me this godly mother, this godly wife, that I may bring glory to you through the life that I live. And that happens, praise God, all your life. You know, you're never going to reach the goal that you've arrived, a goal that you're completely perfect. We still have this flesh, though you're saved and you're forgiven from your sin, we still have this nature. But the Spirit of God wants to work in you and through you to bring you to the point where you become a godly mother that will be faithful to him, bring glory to God. And so you say, well, how can that be? Well, you need to find the Lord. And when you find the Lord and when you're saved and you're born again, then you can fear the Lord. Please, the Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 30, please pay attention. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. I want you to notice some benefits of having the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9, verse 10, if you would turn in Proverbs 9, verse 10. I want to show you some benefits, and then I want to show you that perhaps the definition of what it means to fear the Lord, and then I want you to see the destructions of not fearing the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible says there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Okay, wonderful. The benefit is that's wisdom that God will give me to know how to live a godly life, to know how to be a godly wife or a godly mother, wisdom that God will impart from me. That's the benefit of fearing the Lord. And many a times we don't know how to be, but God says, well, if you fear me, that's a good start. If you respect and honor me and honor my word and will start to heed my words, then that's a good start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of being wise. The last thing that you want to do as mothers or wives is to say, well, I don't really care about what God says. I have my way. I have my tradition. But the best tradition and the best light, if you would, is the word of God. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But notice chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Okay, I want you to understand this not only in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense, praise God. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. There's going to be an end to the one that does not fear the Lord and does not follow in his footsteps and wanting to do things right. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a cutoff time and that day or the life, if you would, of those people would be shortened. They're not going to have long life, and surely not if they don't start on a good foot with the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving that as their Savior. There is no way they'll have eternal life. And so the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. And by the way, it will keep you from stress, depression. You don't have to get older, you know, quicker inside. Stress and your bones, you can have health. The way you have health to your bodies when you don't put stress on it, and the way that can happen is when you start fearing God. Now, Proverbs 14, verse 26, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." This fear of the Lord, strong confidence, is to be safe and secure in God's hands. You know, the fear of the Lord will bring about a confidence that won't cause you doubt. The reasons people are tormented with doubt and plagued with doubt is because they're not fearing the Lord. They're not fearing the Lord. There's no confidence there. There's no refuge. There's no safety. But when you fear the Lord and you're in His will and you're doing what God wants you to do, there's strong confidence. You know your prayers are going to be heard. You know you're in the very center of God's will, and whatever may come, it is from the hand of God, and God's allowed it in your life. There's confidence there, and also there's a place of refuge. I don't have to feel guilty when I resort to God when things do take place in my life. There's strong confidence. I'm in the center of God's will. I'm fearing the Lord. Proverbs 22 verse 4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord," note this, "are riches, honor, and life." The opposite is true. If you don't fear the Lord, poverty, anguish, despair, shame, dishonor, death. The opposite of true is true. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. And so the benefits of that is amazing. And I don't have to be in poverty in a sense, spiritual sense, where I'm lacking a God's blessing in my life, or I don't have to be dishonored and shameful, or living a life of death and destruction. And then Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17, the Bible says, "Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." Let me say this, the fear of the Lord brings about godly contentment. The Bible says godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. So the fear of the Lord will just bring me in the mindset, well, I don't have to envy sinners. I don't have to look at the life of the wicked or the one that is carnal, miserable, and say, oh, you know, I wish I had their lives. I wish I was doing this or doing that and had this and had that. No, when I fear the Lord, I don't have to be discontent with what God is doing in my life. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, what does it mean, I should say, to fear the Lord? Well, please turn with me to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Anyone help me out here this morning? Maybe you've got a few things that you already know in your heart and mind. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Yep. Okay. You have this fear to, you don't want to displease God. You want to please God. You don't want to break His heart. Okay, good. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, you want to respect God and honor and reverence Him and fall before Him and be fear and trembling. Not that I'm afraid of Him, but like mentioned, I'm afraid of the consequences perhaps. I'm afraid of losing the blessing, if you would. And I want to please Him. And I want to respect Him. I want to put Him in the right place of my life. Great. Anyone else? George. Okay. To be in awe of His magnificence and His holiness and His greatness. And I want to fear that. I want to realize who He is. Amen. I mean, I can't be in awe if I don't know Him. And once I know Him and I know who He is, I can fall before Him and say, "You're God." Amen. Anyone else? Yes. Casting our cares upon Him. Amen. To resort to Him, to trust Him, to depend upon the Lord. It's to fear the Lord, not to do things in my own strength or my own understanding, if you would. Great. Notice what the verse 13 says. Proverbs 8, verse 13. Now, the fear of the Lord is to hate what? Evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and every evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. You know, many a times people would say, "Charlie, you know, you always preach about sin and how we're sinners and this and that." Look, listen, friend, when you read the Bible, you just can't help get away from that concept. You just can't help find some things in the Bible that relates to who we are. I mean, we have to come to terms with it. You and I have been born sinners. And I'm sorry to say that you and I haven't been born angels. Okay? We haven't been born angels. We've been born sinners. Okay? And so we've got to get in terms with that. And the only way that we can understand that is through the scriptures and understand who we are and who he is. And once we understand who we are and who he is, I believe would be a better understanding how we can live this life. Now, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Let me say this to you. If you're going to be a faithful, godly mother, then you need to find God and you need to fear God. And the way you fear God is to hate pride in your own life. And I'm not saying here this morning, let's look at other people's pride and arrogancy in this. Let's focus this morning on our lives. Men, also, let's focus in our lives. Let's try to look at this from the perspective of me. Now, what is pride? It's to lift someone up, or lift self up. It's to be puffed up. It's to be boasting about your successes and accomplishments and not giving God the glory. You remember what happened to Herod? He was struck down by God because he gave not God the glory. He was lifted up in his pride. But also, it's to have a wrong view of self. There was a little boy that came running to his mother shouting, "Mom, Mom, I'm 9 feet tall." His mother responded and said, "Nonsense, how'd you come up with that measurement?" He goes, "Well, I took my shoe off and I started measuring myself by my own feet." And she said to him, "Son, that's not how you measure yourself. You got the wrong understanding of how to measure." She said, "We do not measure ourselves by the size of our own feet, but we measure by the use of using a 12-inch ruler." And sometimes we can get the wrong measurements of ourselves. Amen? And the only way that we can measure ourselves is when we look at the Word of God. When we look at the Word of God, we can really see ourselves. It's like a mirror. It tells us who we are. That's why it's called a holy Bible. It's a holy Bible. It's a different, peculiar Bible. It's not like us. And God gives us the right view of self. He gives us the right, look, this is who you are. And our measuring stick is not our feelings. The measuring stick, let me say this to you, is not your pastor. The measuring stick is not your parents. It's the Word of God. Amen. And God himself. And if you want the right view of yourself, you don't compare yourselves among yourselves, for it's not wise to do that. And the right view of self is when you look at God and you see, this is how I'm going to view myself. And so pride is the wrong view of self. It's puffed up. Pride cannot admit when you've done wrong. As a matter of fact, it tries to cover up sin. What happened to Eve when she tried to cover it up? And then it tries to blame others. And I believe every single person struggles with this sin of pride. Pride's a killer. I mean, if you say to yourself right here this morning, "I don't really struggle with pride," that's proud. That's a proud statement. Every single person has this pride embedded in their hearts, and in their flesh. The Bible says, "In my flesh," Paul the Apostle speaking, "dwelleth no good thing." And the only good thing that ever lives in a Christian is the Holy Spirit of God. But when we're not walking in the Spirit and we walk in the flesh, we can become proud people. And so pride is a deadly poison. And the Bible says if we are going to fear the Lord, we need to hate pride. God looked at Job and he says, "Oh, there's a man, he's perfect, he's upright, he fears God and he eschews evil." That means, you know what he does? He turns it off when it comes. You know, he lays it aside. He withdraws. He doesn't let it take control. When pride comes in your life, you need to hate it, abhor it, just be disgusted with it. Turn it off. Don't let it plague you. Don't let it control you. Just go back and have a look at the Word of God and say, "Lord, please, I want to be someone that fears you. And if I fear you, I'm going to hate what you hate." And you hate a proud look, according to Proverbs chapter 6. The Lord says himself in Proverbs chapter 6, he hates a proud look. He hates someone that's so proud and you can see it on their face. God says, turn it off. Turn that proud look off. If you want to be a godly, faithful person or a mother, you need to hate what God hates, and he hates pride. He hates pride. The Bible, I want you to see now the consequences if you do not turn off this pride in your life. If you continue to entertain it, you don't hate it. I want to see Proverbs 11 verse 2. Proverbs 11 verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh what? What is it?
Shame.
When pride cometh, cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. It brings about disgrace and shame in our lives. If we don't humble ourselves before the mighty God, it brings about shame. I don't know about you, but do you want to be a disgrace before the... Now, you can say, well, I'm going to be proud, successful, rich, having the favor of man, but you can be disgraceful in the eyes of God. A proud look, someone that's proud causes shame. Now notice verse chapter 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So pride brings about a strife and contention, if you would. And the Bible says about a contentious woman, a woman in a house, the Bible says it's better for that man to live in the corner of a house, in the roof, than to be living in a wide house with a contentious woman. Oh man, can you think about that? You say, why? Because this person's proud. Pride brings contention. But what a wonderful thing when you live in a house with a humble mother. A mother that is humble before the Lord. A mother that is just simply trusting and fearing God. You know, when you fear the Lord, everything else comes into place. Because the fear of the Lord hates pride. It hates when it starts creeping up, it wants to turn it off and switch it off. As a matter of fact, there are some times when that person realizes and they've realized the fact that pride has taken a hold of me. I haven't switched off pride. I didn't hate it. I didn't fear the Lord. And so it controlled me, and therefore it controlled my decisions. It controlled my spirit. I was upset. I was bitter. I said things like I shouldn't say. And so what happens with a godly mother, she comes and she falls and she goes, oh, dear God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, dear God. I let pride have the best of me. She fears God. She falls before the Lord, and then she makes right with her children. She makes right with her husband. She said, look, listen, I've asked God for forgiveness. I shouldn't react the way I reacted. And she makes right with her children. She's not big enough to say sorry to her little boy whom she just yelled and screamed at without love. She is a person that would be hating pride because she understands that pride can feed the next generation. So she hates pride. She fears God, so she hates pride, because pride causes strife and contention. It causes shame, but also causes destruction. Notice Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. The Bible says, pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Destruction. You know, it was pride that kicked Lucifer out of heaven. It was pride that caused Adam and Eve to be naked. It was pride that cost Pharaoh his firstborn. It was pride that made Saul lose his crown. It was pride that was that hung Judas off a tree. It was pride that kept one of the thieves from paradise. It was pride that killed Herod. And it was pride that will kill you. Destruction. A fall. Pride. Let me ask you a question, sobering question. Do you hate pride? You say, oh, I hate pride in their life. I hate pride in his life. But no, I'm not asking that. Do you hate pride in your life? Because to hate pride is to fear God. Do you hate pride? D.L. Moody once said, to be humble, be humble. And you won't stumble. Be humble and you won't stumble. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. Notice, as a jewel of gold. Turn there if you would. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. but one that feareth the Lord shall be praised. You got this precious gold jewel in the nose of a pig. What a waste. It's not made for that. And Bible says this beautiful, fair woman without discretion and without the fear of God is a waste. It's a waste. She's beautiful, but she's got no discretion, no wisdom, because she doesn't fear the Lord. She's not meek, and therefore God resists her, and wisdom is not given to her. Every wise woman, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Woman that fears God will build the house. But a woman that's proud and arrogant would destroy the house. And you say, do you want to become a godly, faithful mother? Or a faithful, godly mother? You say, absolutely. Fear God. And the fear God is to hate evil. Hate pride in your own life. You say, what's the next thing? Well, the next thing is to feed your children. A faithful, godly mother feeds her children. Feeds her children. A teacher asked a boy this question. Suppose your mother baked the pie and there were seven of you, your parents, and five children. What part of the pie would you get? The boy replied, a sixth. She goes, I'm afraid you don't know your fraction, said the teacher. Remember, there are seven of you. She said, yes. And the boy said, yes, I know that, teacher. But you don't know my mother. My mother would say, I don't want any pie. And so a mother is concerned about feeding her children before she feeds herself. But let me encourage you, mothers, please, be overzealous about feeding them the Word of God. Yeah, I understand it's not wrong to supply. As a matter of fact, even you men, the Bible says, if you don't provide for your children, you're worse than a what? Infidel. You ought to supply for your children, love your children, nourish your children. And that's what a mother does. But let me say this to you, your responsibility is to train up your children and to feed your children. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, forsake not the law of thy mother. So in other words, she's got some things to teach them. Amen? And she ought to nourish them, nurture them, admonish them, along with her husband. It's a very sad thing. Very, very sad thing. When you see some child nourished physically but not spiritually. Let me give you some ways in which you can feed your child. Number one, dedicate your child to the Lord. And what does it mean to dedicate your child before the Lord? The word dedicate means to offer up, to give, to consecrate to give back. Hannah prayed this prayer before she even had a child. What a prayer that she prayed. She said, Lord, if you give me a man child, if you give me a boy, I'll be gladly to give him back to you, for you. And I think every mother needs to dedicate their child before the Lord. Before you have children, after you have children, same thing is true. Say, Lord, this is the child that you've given me. I want to give him back to you. In other words, I do not want to hinder the growth of that child. I do not want to be intimidated. If my child loves the Lord and I can see them grow and they want to learn more, I ought not to stop them and say, you're going too far now. Let me say this, that's blasphemy. Because we can never be enough for God. We can never come to the point that we've done, look what I've done, Lord, look how much I've done. No way in the world. And so if your child wants to do more, read more, go to church more often, don't hinder them from doing that. It's the worst thing to do. Oh, that's enough, you've done your time. You're going too far. Why don't you do something else with your life? And maybe the child wants to love the Lord. Please, don't be intimidated by that. As a matter of fact, you should fan the flame of the fire that God is doing in their life and say, I'm glad that God is doing something. And I'm glad that I can invest in that child's life. And I'm not going to be the one pouring down a cold bucket of water on the fire of what God's doing in that person's life. You say, well, sometimes I'm intimidated because I'm not really that into it. I'm not really loving, committed to the Lord like they are. Then maybe you ought to be. And if you're not, because you're not ready for whatever reasons in your life, don't hinder your little ones to do it. Dedicate them to the Lord. The Bible says that Hannah said, I will give thy handmaid a man child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of my life, of his life. And the Lord remembered Hannah, her plea, and he granted her a child. And in verse 22 of 1 Samuel 1, but Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. She had a responsibility. But then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, listen, and there abide forever. There was a time where Hannah had to say, I've done my part, I've nursed my child, and now I'm going to give it back. Say, Lord, you know what? Whatever you want for my child, I'm going to support what you want in their life. That's the best way that you can feed your child. Help your child spiritually, not only physically. You've got to leave them in the hand of the Lord. If you see your child wanting to know more about the Lord, wanting to study more about the Lord, wanting to, you know, be around God's people, going to different church things, and just let them go. Don't stop them. Encourage them. Don't pull them back. Say, if this is what God wants you to do. And you can see that. You can see they're not making foolish decisions. God's given you there as a responsibility, but you can see they're making decisions that are honorable. And by the way, wanting to know more about God and love God, serve God is honorable. It's not a bad thing, my friends. It's a good thing. This is how I'm going to challenge you, mothers. Who gave you that child to begin with? Without him, you'd have zero. And by the way, it was the Lord that put his hand on who? Hannah, and said, not now. The Lord is able, but the Lord is able also. But let me say this, if you do have children or you don't, the best prayer that you can ever pray is say, Lord, if you ever give me children, they're yours. And Lord, the children that I have right now, they're yours. I'm not going to stop them. I'm not going to put this thing in my mind and my brain for them to say, oh, I want them to be a doctor. Who said that a doctor was anything that was honorable? And there's nothing wrong, I'm not undermining being a doctor, but whoever said that being a doctor is the best thing you can ever achieve in life? You let them be what God is making them to be, whether it's a doctor or what? Priscilla? Aquila? See, Hannah wasn't afraid that her son would become a prophet. Let me say this to you. If God ever called your little child to become a preacher, would you be afraid? Oh, they're going to go overseas, a missionary, this, that. Oh my, you know, they're going to be poor and miserable. They're not going to be a normal kid. Oh. Whoa. If God ever called your son or your daughter to be something perhaps out of the ordinary, praise the living God. But let me say this to you so I can keep it balanced. If God doesn't call your child to be a preacher and you want it to be, that's dangerous too. You give them to the Lord and you encourage them to love God and say, God, what do you want me to be for you here on earth? And don't you stop it. Encourage, make sure that they're walking with the Lord, be their guide, help them. But if they come to you and I say, well, I'm spending time, I want to do more for the Lord, I want to do this, I want to do that, don't stop them. Dedicate them before the Lord. A mother's sacrifice. I want to give you this story. On August 16, 1987, Northwest Airlines flight 225 crashed just after taking off from Detroit Airport, killing 155 people. One survived, a four-year-old from Arizona named Cecilia. When rescuers found Cecilia, they did not believe she had been on the plane. As a matter of fact, investigators first assumed that Cecilia was in a car on the highway. But when they found out the records in the passengers list, or the register if you would, they found and checked that Cecilia's name was on the passenger's flight. Well, investigators later found out that Cecilia survived because even as the plane was falling, Cecilia's mother, Paula, unbuckled her seatbelt and came around to Cecilia and wrapped her arms around her, taking the full blows of the crash. What a mother sacrifice. And if you ever want to sacrifice for your children, you leave them in the Lord's hands. You let them go. Don't hold them on for my forever. I'm sorry to say this, but I know I'm being the youngest, but my mum, she always says, oh, you're the baby, you're my baby. Oh, you're going to Newcastle? Why? Can't God call you here in Faith Baptist Church? You're doing here. You know, God's using you here. I said, yeah, Mama, God's calling me. I've got to go. And she tried to put that guilt trip on me. It's a mother's heart. But I said, Ma, look, listen, God's calling me. And she goes, you know what, son? I know God's calling you, but you know, I'm just getting in the flesh sometimes. I just want you here. And listen, I guarantee you, if I said to Mama, okay, Ma, I'll stay for you, she'll say, no, look, I'm just being silly, go. But what I'm trying to say, if you want to sacrifice for your children, give them to the Lord. You say, I might lose them early. Well, that's the best sacrifice you could do. As a matter of fact, that's the best life that you can give them. Paula was trying to save her daughter's life so she can have life. And with you give your child to the Lord, you're giving them life, but not just life, life more abundantly. A life that this world cannot give. And then, not only dedicate them, but decide to be a godly example yourself. When little children see your dedication and love for the Lord, they will still build up an appetite for Him also. Failure to live out what you teach them could hinder them. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul the Apostle says about Timothy, says, I call to remembrance, notice this word, 2 Timothy 1:5, he says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice. And he says, I know, I am persuaded that this unfeigned faith is in you also. You know what Paul the Apostle was saying? The unfeigned faith means to be pure, sincere, without dissimulation. In other words, their faith in Christ without hypocrisy. It was pure. And you could tell, that's a godly mother. That's a godly grandma. You could just see it. They didn't have to say, oh, I'm a Christian. You could just see that they're a Christian. There's no hypocrisy. And they're not trying to be something that they're not. They're just living out the Christian life in their life. They got faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say this to you. Faith in the Lord and continuing to fear the Lord will allow you to become this godly mother that she will shine. And you cannot help but give God the glory. For the Proverb 31 is blessed. Her children praise her in the house. I'm saying, I'm a Christian. And she surely does not live one way in the church and another way at home. That's the worst thing that you can ever do to your children. Live a double life. Come to church with your Bible and live such a way where you're holy, but when you get home, you start going crazy. Your children don't want to see that. They don't want to see that your faith is genuine. It's not hypocrisy. It's no religion. They want to see that it's real. Hypocrisy is a great discourager and danger for your children. It will build up bitterness in their life. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, without any hypocrisy. Let it be pure. Again, he says, abhor that which is evil. Fear the Lord. Hate evil. Hate hypocrisy. You know, if any time Jesus was firm with people, it was with the hypocrites. Many a times you read the Gospels and you see he was firm with the hypocrites. And Peter actually says in his epistles, let's lay aside hypocrisy and envy and murder. And he says that. He says it actually to the Christian. Let's be having this unfeigned faith, this genuine faith. Say, I'm going to give you a number of ways. How does a wife, this godly mother, lead by example? This true faith. Well, be faithful to God first. When you're faithful to God and you fear God, you'll be faithful with other things. Attend church regularly. Don't treat God like a religion. You know, attend church, love the brethren. Let me say this to you, this is a big one. Don't talk about the brethren around your kids. Let me even say this, if it's not good, don't talk about the brethren at all. The last thing that your children want to hear is your gossip about the brethren, and you're feeding something into them that is not good for them. Pray for your children and pray with your children. Love and forgive others at all time. Don't hold grudges. Love and forgive. I'll see your example. This is a big one. Admit your faults to your children when you do wrong. Oh yeah, they love it. You know, if anything puts out hypocrisy, is when you're true with your children and you admit and you say, listen, I'm so sorry. You know, I wasn't acting like a Christian. And when they see that and they hear that, they go, wow. Inside, probably won't. But inside, they're just, that's okay, mommy. And they can see the genuine, real. You're not putting this on Mr. Spiritual, you know, and I've got it together. But they can see this anger and this gossip and this other side of you. And they say, huh, I don't get it. Well, we need to tell the children. We do fall and stumble sometimes, and we ought not to. And when I do, I'm so sorry. And I go to the Lord in prayer, and I ask him for forgiveness. Like sometimes when you mess up and you do wrong, I have to discipline you. The Lord does the same thing with me, and I'm not going to cover that. I'm going to let you know that I failed in that area. Man, let me say this to you. You failed in that area. Go to your wife and say sorry to your wife. Look her in the eyes when you do it. Let her see the genuine, you know, sorry. And tell her why you were sorry. Explain to her, I'm sorry for this, that, or the other. Not just, oh, I'm sorry, I apologize. Like, hurry up and get over it. We're friends again? Let there be some genuine there. Admit your faults to your children from all your heart. And then look, teach them the scriptures. Teach them the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, from a child that has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. A child's exposure to the scriptures mustn't be only on a Sunday morning service, friends. And it must not only be dependent upon the Sunday school teacher. Charles Wesley said, I've learned more about God from my mother than from any other theologian in England. Because he had a godly mother that would teach him. That would spend some time. Let me say this. A godly, faithful mother is a New Testament. Is the New Testament in her home. Absolutely. She's the living book in her home. She lives by example. I'm not saying that every mother has to get it down packed, but she wants to reach to that maturity and that perfection. She wants to fear God. And by fearing God, she dedicates her child. And by fearing God, she decides that she wants to be dedicated to the Lord and living that godly example. Say what? Woman that's godly and faithful, ones that finds God, fears God, feeds her children, and lastly, follows her husband. Follows her husband. Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 is going to be the last point. We're going good on time. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, beginning from verse 1, the Bible says, likewise, ye wives, being subject to your own husbands, that if any obey not in word, they also may be without the word, be won by their what? Conversation of the wives. You know what God's saying here? Even if you get a person that's not saved, her husband is not saved. We even say, perhaps a husband that is carnal, saved but is not living the way God wants him to live. By her life, conversation of life, by her example, she can win her husband. And I guarantee you, it's not going around following your husband and giving him Bible verses. No, it's by her life, living it. She lives the Bible. He sees it's real. And it says over here, 1 Peter 3:2, while they behold your chaste conversation, what is it? Coupled with what? Coupled with what? Look at your Bibles, please. 1 Peter 3:2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Again, the fear of the Lord. Humble. Lifestyle that is chaste. What's that word? Chaste there to be clean, innocent, modest, matured, perfect, clean and pure. Again, no hypocrisy. She's not loud and stubborn. She's not boisterous, crude and rude. She's not manipulative and haughty. She's not flirtatious and vain. No, she's chaste conversation coupled with humility. Because the fear of the Lord is to hate pride. And the opposite of pride is meek. Notice next verse, verse 3. Whose adorning, let it be not with the outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But what? But let it be the hidden man of the heart, that in that which is not corruptible, even the what? The ornament of what? Meek and quiet spirit. Which in the sight of God is a great price. Sounds like the Proverb 31 woman. Her price is far above rubies, amen? And so she's not worried about the outward appearance more than she's worried about the inward appearance. She's not worried about getting her hair done and getting the gold on her fingers and on her, you know, just to look magnificent, because she understands that the fear of the Lord is what she's going to be praised for, because favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. She understands the fact, and I'm not saying that you can't look respectable, but her concentration and her focus, this godly woman is not focused on the outward, but is focused in the inward. She doesn't really care how she looks before man as much as she looks before God. She's not looking in that mirror and saying, I wonder how people are going to look at me today. She looks in that mirror and says, God, I hope I'm going to live for you today and bring glory to you. I don't want to bring any stumbling block to my husband, to anyone. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. Lord, I want this meek and quiet spirit. And this meek and quiet spirit is opposite than being proud. It's the fear of the Lord. Look, listen, the fear of the Lord is to submit to your husband in a meek and quiet spirit. Godly mother is a great prize before God. Notice verse 5. For after this manner is the old time, the holy woman also who trusted in God adorned themselves with what? With the subjection unto their own husbands. Now he says the ornament I want you to have is to be meek and quiet and submissive to your husband. You say, well, but my husband's not really leading the home. I have to take care of business. No, you don't. God never made you to lead the home. You say, but he's not playing his part. Well, pray that he does. Or you say, well, sometimes he makes decisions that are not right and it gets us into debt or whatever. Help him. You're his helpmate. By you taking the reins or making decisions that your husband should be making makes him feel this small, and you make things worse. Because God had given him a responsibility and given you a responsibility. And your responsibility, regardless the way he's living, is yes. How can I help in this area? Instead, when he makes a bad decision, you don't say, see, look what you made us do. Look where we... No. Say, you know what, sweetheart? It's okay. Let's commit it to prayer. I'll be praying for you. I know God's going to lead you. Just encourage him. Pray for him. Love him. Submit to him. And God begins to change that man. You say, what if he's making decisions that are bad? I'm not advocating following your husband with bad decisions, but notice what the Bible says here. Even Sarah, verse 6, obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Remember that time? Comes before the Sarah. Say to him that I'm your brother. Because if he knows that I'm your, you know, husband, man, you're beautiful. He's looking at you like he wants you. If he knows him, he might kill me. Sarah goes up. I'm his sister. By the way, she was given a half-truth. He was half-sister. But she still submitted to him. I'm not advocating lying here, okay? But you can see the submission that she had. The Bible even says it. She followed her husband. And likewise, ladies, adorn yourself with this kind of submission. So even to the point of error, even to the point of, listen, God is your final authority. But the emphasis is how she submitted. The emphasis is how much she loved to follow her husband. She didn't want to take his place. She wasn't boisterous. She wasn't saying, this is how it's done and let's go, let's do it. No, no, she said, okay, I'm going to follow. I'm going to submit. Quiet. I had here, we're out of time. 8 ways to love your husband, maybe another time. But the fear of the Lord is to submit to your husband with a meek and quiet spirit. In closing, Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate what? Evil. And pride and arrogancy. Pride will keep you from finding God. Pride will keep you from being an example to your children, feeding your children. Pride will keep you from the meek and submissive spirit that you ought to be to your husband. Pride will bring about vanity and life. Vanity in your life. The Bible says, I want to hate pride. You know that word hate means to become an enemy of. According to 1 John 2:15, you know what the Bible says, love not the world. Why? Because the love of the world is what? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So God wants me to have the opposite of loving the world, which is hate. Hate, pride of life. And we know James 4:4, what he talks about. The friend of the world is the enemy of God. Having this pride of life makes me an enemy of God. And this faithful, godly mother could not stand it, to be the enemy of God. Let me say this to you. The faithful, godly mother cannot stand to be resisted by God. You know that verse. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. And this godly mother cannot stand being resisted. She can't. She hates it. I don't want to be God's enemy. And I don't want to be. I can't stand being out of fellowship with God. She's got that fear and that reverence. She can't stand a day being out of God's will. That's a godly mother. She has this unfeigned faith, this meek and quiet spirit, because she fears the Lord. God works in her life. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and the ears are open unto their prayers. Note this, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. She can't stand to have God not look at her because of her pride. Because pride won't help you find God. Remaining in pride won't help you be an example before your children. It won't help you follow your husband. This is the big one. You'll be out of fellowship with God. God won't hear your prayers. Even though you think that you're praying, God says, no, I don't hear you. My face is not to you. Look how you're treating your husband. Look how you're living in front of your children. You're just worried about the external. You're not worried about the internal. No. She can't stand saying, oh, dear God, I don't want your face to be turned from me. I want to fear you. One verse we're closing, this is for the men. Exodus chapter 18. A little challenge for men. This is the time when Moses set in order the things that were lacking. There were so many people, and he wanted to have some leaders to be over about a group of 50. There were so many people that needed wisdom. They were coming up with Moses with some little things, and he was taking care of the big things. And so he needed some men to say, look, I need you to take care of these things here. It's almost what happened in the book of Acts, amen? That he got some people to take care of the widows and the things that were lacking, because they needed to take care of the things that God called them to do, prayer and the Bible. But he says, look, these are the kind of men I want you to look at. Verse 21. Exodus 18, verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people, notice this word, able men. You know, that same word in the Hebrew is the same word in Proverbs 31 for virtuous. Same word. And so we can get an understanding of what a virtuous woman from this verse is. What is it? Able men such as what? Let's say it together. Able men such as men of truth, hating covetousness. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Covetousness. People of truth. People that fear God is what God will have to say. You're a godly woman. You're a godly man. You can be used for my glory. Shine. You can be that example. May God help us to fear God, to fear God, to love God. And the mother that is godly cannot stand. Like we had a definition for Madeline. I don't want to displease God. I don't want to displease him. I love him. I want to please him. And like we heard in the special today, I want to hear those words. I want to hear them. I don't want to be living my life on self and vain and have the accolades of men and beauty and fame. No. I want to stand and hearing those words because I fear, love him. I want to do what he wants me to do. May God help us. Every one of us. Amen? To be able men and virtuous women. Godly, faithful men and faithful women that will bring glory to him.